Welcome to Hot Grease. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. This Heritage Radio Network program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. Whole Foods Market reminds you that every bite has a story. So whether it's a tomato, a muffin, or a T-bone steak, your conscious food choices can change the planet. Because at Whole Foods Market, every single purchase you make helps us support things like animal welfare, organic agriculture, equitable trade, and energy offsets. Let's think before we eat. Let's retake our plates. Every week on Hot Grease, we bring people back to what's great in food, culinary traditions, cooking at home, knowing your farmer, or even growing your own food. I spotlight good food fighters and the culture of the good food movement, from chefs to tastemakers to moms on a budget. Today, we'll be talking Seeing Red and the Hot 5 Social Media Week Edition. If you're listening live to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network, give us a buzz. Give us a ring. We're here in the studio. Our number is 718-497-2128. Listen up, people. Again, Hot Grease is attempting to put the red velvet cake chatter to bed. In the studio, we have Monica Byrne. Monica is the owner of Homemade in Red Hook, Brooklyn, and the 2010 winner of the Red Show's Red Velvet Cake Contest. Also joining us is Judith E. Hopper, the manager of the Red Hooper, the manager of the Red Show, and New York NY Creates. Welcome, ladies, to Hot Grease.
Thank you for having us.
Monica, please give me, we're going to start off right at the top of the hour. Give me the anatomy of a red velvet cake.
Well, it's red.
Aha.
You know, there are all kinds of things that can go into it in a million different recipes. Mine has cocoa, it's got buttermilk, it's got vinegar, it's got all kinds of crazy good stuff in it.
So, you said vinegar. Uh-huh. I like. Are these ingredients the ones that were in your winning cake?
Yes, they were.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of people miss the vinegar piece.
Mm-hmm. It's a traditional.
Yes, yes. Do you, and your frosting?
Cream cheese.
Nuts or no nuts?
Nuts.
Oh! I'm getting excited. So, people, if you're listening to Heritage Radio Network, and you listen to Hot Grease all the time, you know that I've had probably about two or three show segments dedicated to the red velvet cake and cream cheese. One thing I will say, and I want to hear your opinion on this, is the flour. I think a true Southern red velvet cake always has white lily flour.
Or swan's down, I guess, also.
What's that? What's
another cake baking flour, yeah.
Okay, I've never
it's
heard of that.
Probably the northern yep. version of it.
Okay, what's the name?
Swan's down.
Okay. I like what I'm hearing. Live listeners, if you're listening live and you think and you just heard Monica's ingredients, tweet me or Facebook me and tell me if you think Monica's cake is on point. What would you say, since we're talking about ingredients and classic cake baking, what would you say is a true fail that people do in baking classic cakes?
Well, in cakes in general, but definitely specifically in red velvet, I think people go too sweet. I think it's people put too much sugar and make it too cloying so that your teeth want to fall out instead of that you want to savor it and eat more.
Yeah, especially in the icing.
Mm. Too sweet. Yeah, I'll have to agree. People do go a little bit too sweet. And I don't think you have to do that personally with the icing. If you people put a lot of confectionery sugar in the cream cheese icing.
If you can taste the granulation, it's no good.
Speaking of winning and losing, Judith, the red velvet contest that Monica won is part of an annual event.
Yes, New York Creates has been at New York Historical Society probably, I think, for 4 or 5 years. And in 2009, after the banks and loaning companies had like crashed in 08. I remember Marty Markowitz inviting everybody to Borough Hall to talk about what Brooklyn could do to save itself. And so I came up with this idea of wanting to have the red show, and I was trying to think of all things red, and I thought, well, of course, red velvet cake for Valentine's, and just began calling all the bakeries that I could think of to see if they wanted to be part of the contest.
So tell me about who participates in the red show. Is it all food?
No, it's a New York Creates is actually a crafts group, but food in, for me is also a craft and an art. And so we always try to have some people there selling. Generally, we have someone selling cupcakes. And it's why I thought the Red Velvet Cake Contest went well with us, because I think food is both an art and a craft. And so we have people with jewelry, pottery, clothing, hats, just about anything you can imagine, wood makers. So they're all handmade by people right here in New York City, a lot of them from Brooklyn itself.
Tell me more about the food vendors that are there. People love to go to an event and there are tons of foods.
Yeah, we just have desserts because there's no setup for doing other kinds of food. So generally, sometimes some of the people who are baking cakes are also there, will come and sell like little cupcakes of the other kinds of cakes that they have.
Cool. So I have another question. Actually, I think we're going to take a short break and come back with more about Brooklyn Historical Society, the actual building, and more details about the contests. Keep listening.
Everybody is a star. Who would rain and shake the dust away? Sun that loves you brown. When the system tries to bring you down, never had the shining eyes. You don't need darkness to do what you think is right.
Welcome back to Hot Grease on Heritage Radio Network. Check out our program schedule and show archives on heritageradionetwork.com. If you've just tuned in live, we have Judith Hooper, manager of NY Creates, and Monica Byrne, owner of Red Hook's Homemade. I've been dying to go there. Now I know I'm going this week. And we're chatting cake and Brooklyn's Red Show. History and classic foods truly are a perfect marriage. BK Historical Society over the past decade has hosted like two food-centric events. I think I saw they did one on beer, like an exhibit.
Yes, yes.
And one on storefronts. Tell me more about the society. Is it a museum? What kind of place is this?
It's a museum that's on the history of New York City, of Brooklyn, rather, and they have this incredible collection of photographs that if you can get into their library and look at their archives, just anything you want to research about Brooklyn, they have the information there. Even, I think, when Con Edison first started putting in electricity, they have these beautiful photographs that are huge, aerial views of all of Brooklyn. We're always trying to, in the future, try to coordinate maybe having some kind of exhibit on baking in Brooklyn.
I would love that, because I recently read, was this in New York magazines, this cake, this blackout cake from this bakery that's been in Brooklyn was in Brooklyn years ago that people closed in maybe like the 70s or 80s. I'll have to Google it real quick, but it's the original home of the Blackout Cake.
It's an old school, yeah.
I can't remember. It's on the tip of my tongue. Oh, well. Back to the sweet stuff.
Blackout Cake is good.
Yeah. Yes, so since we're speaking of sweet stuff, tell me about some of the entrants and who will be judging, the criteria, the camaraderie at the event last year.
Well, it's a mixture of professional bakeries, professional bakers, and non-pros. So we have like anything from Betty Bakery on Atlantic Avenue, Lady Bird in Park Slope, to some professional bakers like Monica with her homemade, and what's this one called? Kelly's Cakes. She's a new one.
There's also
brown sugar desserts.
Betsy Nine Cakes. We actually met her there.
And Sweet Melissa.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sweet Melissa. There are two locations of Sweet Melissa.
One in Park Slope and the other in Carroll Gardens.
Yeah.
And then we have a couple of independent bakers who are not.
Okay, so you named quite a few of the Brooklyn standouts. And some of those places, I have not tried the Red Velvet Cake, so I'm really excited. So do they all bring one slice?
I asked for at least an 8-inch cake. And so the cakes are all put out first so that the artists do a judging on the best looking cake, of which Monica has won 2 years in a row. And the second year she came back, and when I said the pretty girl went out and got some substance, and she won best looking, best cake, best tasting cake. And so this year the judges are going to be, all 3 years it's been Marty Markowitz, borough president.
Marty loves to eat.
Well, you know, and he's Brooklyn.
Yes, he is quintessential
and,
Brooklyn.
Eric Wolitzki.
From Bait.
Exactly.
Bravo's Top Chef Just Desserts. And then, I'm going blank. Sam Jacobs from Eating Brooklyn.
Yes.
Eating Brooklyn, that's how I first met him, and he was our judge last year. But this year, he's eating everywhere.
Yes. So, Eric, I feel like he's been on one of the shows before. Has he, Jack?
He said he had.
Yeah, probably. You know, everyone that's hot and doing food in Brooklyn, they come to Heritage. You're not the real deal.
Oh, now I feel special.
Yes. You're not the real deal until you come to Heritage Radio Network. Yeah, so he's going to be one of the judges. They do a pretty decent red velvet cake, although I really love their salted caramel. I wouldn't go there for their red velvet cake.
Well, they were in our contest the first year, and then last year when I asked them to come back, they were in the middle of finishing up their cookbook and couldn't do it. And so this year, actually, it was Monica who recommended that I have him as a judge. And I'm really glad to have him.
Perfecto. So tell me last year, your experience, just the camaraderie and people. I mean, I'm sure this is one of the times where you're in the room with your colleagues in New York City that are baking. And you probably don't get a lot of chances to do that.
It's really terrific. It's definitely a competition, and we're all there trying to win. But at the same time, there is a lot of nice camaraderie. We're all fans of each other's work. That's the great thing about being a chef. You don't just want to eat your food. You love everyone else's, too. And so the idea of spending time with one another and eating one another's food all together is really, really wonderful.
And what's really nice is that there's no real prize. You know, I just make these little trophies out of styrofoam and red velvet ribbon. And I love how after the second year, everybody sort of upped their ante on making their cake look good, and that they really just get into the fun of it because it's just fun.
So how did you come up with this idea of doing the red velvet?
Because for when I wanted to come up with the red show, I wanted being in the red to be a good thing. You know, as the city was diving into being in the red. And so I was just trying to think of all things that were red and fun. And so with the original one, I wanted to have salsa dancing. We were having movies downstairs, and the movies and the dancing didn't go over so well with the Red Velvet Cake contest.
Yeah, the Red Velvet Cake contest, hands down, is the smartest thing. I talk about it so much on here, so.
I thought for Valentine's, you know, you couldn't not have red velvet cake.
And then isn't this month like Heart Disease Awareness Month, so people are wearing the red?
Actually, yes, it is.
Yeah,
yes,
so.
It is. And it's also Black History Month. And so
exactly.
That's where we think totally the red velvet cake comes from.
Yeah, I mean, some people, I definitely think it ties into Black History Month because the roots are very Southern and very connected to African American food ways in the South. So I definitely would say that. Although some people say it came from a restaurant or in the city in Manhattan, the red velvet cake.
See, and Monica did some research.
Monica, so what's the deal? I'm gonna ask you.
This is interesting because I had actually always associated it with soul food, associated with it with some of the history of having to use certain foods because you didn't have access to finer foods.
Yeah.
And the idea of using beet sugar as a sweetener in a cake. That's where I thought it came from. I tried to do some research online. I'm hearing about there's a Canadian store that had served it for generations and swore their bakers to secrecy on the recipe. Apparently, the Waldorf Astoria serve one.
Yeah.
And a woman wanted the recipe, and they gave it to her but charged her for it. And she got mad and gave everybody the recipe for free. And everything I looked at, it said it's Southern, and it's definitely really important in the African-American community. And yet, I couldn't find any stories that tied it there.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know how it got there.
I'm still saying it's somebody's black chef who created it.
Oh, well, definitely. I mean,
that sounds about right.
I have two questions. So do you use the beet sugar or do you use food coloring?
I use food coloring, and most people use food coloring.
Yeah,
I do.
I think people, you know, we're here at Hot Grease, and myself, I'm a proponent of using, you know, natural ingredients, organic and natural. I don't mean just putting the name natural on there, but I feel like for certain classic things like a red velvet cake, don't switch it. I completely agree.
I am pretty much a farm to table chef, and this is an exception. I will say though, one of the things that happens when you use the buttermilk and the vinegar and the cocoa powder together is it brings out the natural red in the cocoa powder. So there are some that think that may have been one of the genesis of it also, that it brings out the red in the non-alkaline cocoa.
So
I use both.
I have to say, your cake was a killer cake last year.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.
I was like, what does she have in here?
So
it was just something that was just so different and above the flavor of all the others. I mean, they were all good.
They probably didn't have cocoa. I think
pressure's building.
What I think, all the cakes, and I've tried from Harlem to, I've tried a lot of red velvet cakes. I've talked about it. I'll have to send you, Monica, the links to the show where I've talked about it. My friend Adriana Valles, she's a food writer. She writes for The Stir. She did a whole thing on red velvet cake. I think a lot of people don't use cocoa.
I think it adds so much to it.
I think a lot of people don't use cocoa, and you can tell. Mm-hmm. And cheap ingredients.
Yeah.
I think those two things you can immediately tell, but this is a question I have. So I you heard me at the top of the show talking about how I need to come to Homemade. So is the red velvet cake on the menu at Homemade?
Only seasonally. I don't make it all the time. I don't make it all year round. I'm kind of mercurial. Our restaurant is very small.
Yeah.
So I get to kind of make what I want when I want.
Yeah.
So yeah, and around this time of year, because it is so popular, and especially since the contest started, I make it a lot
it for
now.
Valentine's Day.
Yeah, so what is on? Are you an American farm to table?
Pretty much.
And what's on your menu for Valentine's Day? If people are listening and they want to come by, are you open on Mondays?
We're not. We're open for coffee during the day, but we are only open for dinner Wednesday through Sunday.
However, come Sunday.
Yeah. We are making beautiful truffles right now with that same dark cocoa powder. Okay. And we'll be selling those, and we'll have the red velvet cake, and we'll do some other fun things.
And is there such a thing as a red velvet truffle?
Maybe there will be by the weekend. Why not, right?
Put that out there.
I mean, why not, right?
Well, everybody's doing it. My friend Danny Macaroon, he's been on the show before. I think he's doing a red velvet macaroon. I think it's a trend. It's almost like the cupcake. People are capitalizing off the whole red velvet, but nothing is like a true slice of red velvet cake. For folks who are listening, and we have people all over the country that listen to Hot in Grease, but they want to come to Red Hook because Red Hook is really hot. Red Hook is red hot. Where are you located in Red Hook?
We're on Van Brunt Street at the corner of Van Brunt and Pioneer, a couple blocks from Fairway.
Yeah. Okay. Judith. And so the website for the Red Show and New York Creates.
It's www.brooklynhistory.org. That's the Brooklyn Historical Society. Or you can go to www.newyorkcreates.org.
And Brooklyn Historical Society is on, because I started following them last night. They're on Facebook.
Yes.
They're on Twitter. And they actually did some updates about the event on Friday.
Okay, I should have looked at it before.
They did.
She actually sent me something this morning. And it was the list that I sent her of everybody who's going to be in the contest.
Oh, yeah. She did some updates. I saw that.
And there might be a couple more people because I keep getting emails from people who want to join because it's sort of open to everybody. My plan is eventually I want to have a citywide Red Velvet Cake contest. Yeah. And I want an art organization in every borough to have their own. And I said to Marty, and then we've got to invite them back here to Brooklyn to have the final one. And so there actually is going to be one on Thursday night in Staten Island with a group that I
belong to. Oh, really?
So if Thursday night, 7 o'clock, it's called Art House, 143 Beach Street in Staten Island in the Stapleton section. We'll have a couple of good cakes there also.
And the time and the location
for the one at the Brooklyn Historical Society, it's at 12 o'clock. 128 Pierpont at the corner of Clinton Street in Brooklyn Heights.
And
free tasting afterwards.
That's what I thought. I was just about to say, I think it's free, so you don't have to worry about anything. Ladies, you don't know. This really made my day because, God, you don't understand. We're going to have to talk offline so I can really, but from what you just told me, your cake is on point.
I hope so. We'll find out on Friday.
I will tell you. So your cake is going to be there. Last year's winner will
absolutely. And Monica's, what I like about Monica collaborates with one of our crafts artists. And so she and Marcia Trattner, who's a metal worker, work on a cake together. And so I like.
We always have a really creative design.
I have this whole thing about what I like when different art languages talk to one another. And so I think it's really fun that they began this collaboration.
So I'm excited. I'm going to come. I'll be there. To taste, I'm not all about the looks, but I like the art stuff. I'm
but you know, part of food tasting good is how it looks to you.
You see it first.
You got to whet the appetite here first.
Totally, beauty's great, but it doesn't work if it doesn't hold up when you taste it.
So very true, ladies. Thank you for swinging.
Thank you for having us.
Look forward to you coming on next year.
Yeah, okay.
Have you again. And we should have you back on to talk more about homemade.
It would be our pleasure. We'd love that.
Listeners, keep listening. We'll be back after a short break. Welcome back to Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Nicole Taylor. Hot Grease is produced by Jack Inslee and engineered by Jack Inslee. You were just listening to Sly and the Family Stone. I saw this great documentary. I have to plug this at BAM this weekend. Atma Dutch director did this documentary on Sly. It is absolutely marvelous. But let me give a Southern Girls hug to Roberta's Restaurant, located at 261 Moore Street, the location of two sustainable shipping containers, also known as Heritage Radio Network. This week marks Social Media Week in New York City. No way could I let this week go by without giving you a sizzling hot five. The Hot Five is a rundown of five things on fire in the good food movement. Influencers, farmers, celebrities, business owners, and chefs dish on their favorites. So here it is, the five events, or the must-attend events for New York City's Social Media Week. You can go to socialmediaweek.com or .org. The founder is Toby Daniels. A lot of the events are sold out. Most of them were free or the registration is closed. So I just want to highlight a few. Maybe you have some connections or a little pull. I can get in there. And not only do I want to highlight them, but I'm just going to give you some general tips. If you're listening, you're on the West Coast or you're in the middle and you're going to a similar event, some of the things that you need to do. So five on my social media week, hot five, and their hashtag, if you're on Twitter, is S Media. MWNYC. Yeah, that's the hashtag. You can check it out. The opening party tonight at New York Public Library. I'll be there. It's at the 42nd Street and 4th Avenue non-circulating branch. The one with the two lions out front. And for a while, I know for like 6 months, it was covered because they were doing some renovation. But I think you can see the lions now. And it should be an exciting. It's Fifth Avenue. Oh, Fifth. I'm sorry. I said Fourth. Thank you. See, Judith. Judithine. Fifth Avenue. My tip for attending opening parties, the party is completely sold out. I saw New York Public Library tweeting about it earlier, saying, see you there. But if you don't have a ticket, too bad. crazy, right, y'all? I'm like, why would you even say anything about it? So one of the first things I so if you're listening and you're going to a big opening party like this and it's the first day, my tips are to leave your business cards at home. Yeah, I said it. I do not take business cards to events where there are going to be a whole bunch of tech people there. It's just like a big hazard to go inside of my bag, pull out a card. I just immediately ask them for their Twitter handle, if they're on Foursquare, and follow them just like that. And I know there are a few services out there now where you can tweet a certain thing, hashtag at the end, and it basically compiles everyone for the night. So, yeah, and another tip, if you're going to an opening party, charge your smartphone if you're going to be tweeting there the entire night, because it goes dead really quickly. So that's number five on my Social Media Week NYC hot five. That's the opening party at New York Public Library with tips. Number two. Well, actually, number four. I usually don't do this. This is usually a guess. So my number is wrong. Number four is the Eats and Apps event at 4Food. So, yeah. Hey, friends. I know y'all who are putting this together. I just went online to try to register, and it's sold out. What? I'm shocked. It was $25. Food 4 is the best spot. Forget about Shake Shack and go there. You can get the best burgers, healthy burgers, vegetarian burgers. If you are visiting New York and you're going to Grand Central Station, just go walk a few blocks over and go to Food 4. Their website is food4.com. And there's a great event that's being held there. Danielle Gould from Food and Connect and Mouth of the Border. And a few other people are putting together this event. And it's actually tomorrow night. So maybe there's a waiting list. But if not, I think you should totally check out Food 4 regardless. And here's my tip for an event at a space that has great food. Go hungry. You know, usually when I go to an event and I'm like not sure about who's cooking, what the food, I usually try to get like semi full. But I would say for this one and any other event where there's going to be plenty of food and it's a food establishment, go hungry. Number four, hot five, Social Media Week edition. Three, I'm going uptown, baby. And I actually know for certain that I'm getting in this one. This is Tech Tastemakers event in Harlem at a Aloof Harlem Hotel. And this is being organized by Michael Street, the social media guru of New York City. Yeah, I'm excited about this. I think he has a new initiative out called Influential Ones. You can go to influentialones.com, highlighting people, particularly of color, that are doing social media stuff. So I'm excited. I think the Aloof Harlem Hotel is fairly new. So I'm going to go uptown on Thursday. And here's my tip. Starts at 6, if I'm not mistaken. Plan a cocktail out with friends afterwards. That's what I'm going to do. So that's my tip. If you're going to an event and it's Harlem or some place that you typically don't go a lot because it's like
miles and miles away. Find a great place of cocktails. I think I'm going to Red Rooster afterwards. Marcus Samuelson's restaurant. This would be, what, my third or fourth time there. But I think I'm going to go to the bar and have food. So that was number three on my social media week hot five, or the hottest, the sizzling events to check out. I'm not sure if there's any more spots for that event, or maybe it was invite only. I'm not sure, but you can check out Mike on Twitter. You probably can just Google him and do Michael Street. Number two on the Hot Five Social Media Week edition is my own personal panel. Me and my great friend and colleague Adriana Vallez, we curated a panel titled Food Fighters and Social Media Week, or social media. It will be this Thursday, 7 o'clock. It is full, and with a full waiting list at EC restaurant in Fort Greene. It'll be upstairs in the event area, and we're gonna have a panel discussion with folks from City Harvest, Food Bank NYC, Civil Eats, Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, Food Justice Committee. Hot Bread Kitchen is going to be there. Danielle Gould. Yeah, Danielle, you owe me one, girl. Let me email you when I get off the air. Danielle Gould. And then Melissa Danielle is, she actually will be moderating the panel. Melissa Danielle has been on Hot Grease a few times. And so it's basically a conversation about how social media is changing the conversation, or adding to the conversation around food activism online. So it'd be a great time. I plan on having a great dinner afterwards. And yeah, always pick events. This is my tip for this one. Pick events where you know you can get a great meal afterwards. You know? So see you Thursday if you already have a ticket. If you're listening and it's before Thursday, I have a few volunteer spots I can get you in. So hit me up on Twitter at Food Culturists. That's my Twitter handle. Or Facebook.com/Food Culturists. And my final social media week tip, event, what have you. Again, social media week. You can Google them, find the website, and it's information press galore. My final tip is stay at home on Friday, because that's what I'm going to do. Catch up on all my emails. I'm going to listen to all of the live streams, because most of the events have a live stream, and read all the tweets about Social Media Week. People are tweeting already today. There were tons of tweets about events this morning. So, yeah, that's it. Hot five. Thank you for listening to Hot Grease. Join me every Monday at 3:30 on Heritage Radio Network. Until then, always take the road less traveled. Makes no difference what